Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah!
Who must move it? Who must move it? Who must move it? Who must?
Well, she sneaks around the world from here to Carolina. Sticky fingered thoughts up from Berlin down to Belize. Take you for a ride on a long bus to China. Tell me,
where in the world?
Carmen San Diego.
Steal their
soul in South Korea. Make another country. Also from the Red Sea to Greenland. They'll be seeing the blue. Will they never Arkansas her steal? The meat come from the jungle. Will they?
Where in the world is
Carmen San Diego?
She goes from Nashville to Norway. Out of Zimbabwe, Chicago to Czechoslovakia
and back.
Well, she'll ransack Pakistan and run again in Scandinavia. Then she'll stick them up down under and go big pocket first.
She was
the miss and misdemeanor when she stole the greens from Lima. Tell me,
where in the world is
Carmen San Diego?
Tell me, where in the world?
Tell me, where can she be?
Botswana, Tanzania, Milandia, Amsterdam, Mali, to Bali, Ohio, Ohio.
Yeah, she flies around the globe, thanks she'll slip them every nation. She's a double-feeling diva with a thing for slavery. Her itinerary's loaded up with moving violations. Tell me,
where in the world is
Carmen San Diego?
Tell me,
where in the world is Carmen San Diego?
Tell me,
where in the world is Carmen San Diego?
Where could she be?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to our all-new Happy New Year edition of Sports of a Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, Wade Mamo. What's up, Mac? Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year. How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. Glad to have you and everybody on the show.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Again, Happy New Year's. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas, holiday, you know, season, you know, happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah, happy Merry Christmas. And I hope you all had a wonderful New Year. So I'm glad to be back with you guys and ladies once again. On today's show, you know, we're going to be talking about the unfortunate injury that Damar Hamill, you know, went through. Give you an update on that. Talk about the latest in the Carlos Correa situation. You know, this soap opera going on with Carlos Correa. Where is he at? We'll dive into that. Talk about the Jets going to another tailspin and crash and burn another season. Talk about the Giants standing tall as they try to improve on their, you know, their postseason standings. We'll talk about that. The Yankees making big moves in the front office, and you know, wrestling. You know, talk AEW, talk WWE, and you know, whatever else is on our mind. You know, so most importantly, we'd love to hear from you guys and ladies. So if you guys would like to share your thoughts, please feel free to call in 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. Feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. With that said, yeah, let's Yeah, let's talk about the biggest story in news lately. And unfortunately, you know, it's the injury that Damar Hamill went through, you know, when he was playing with the Bills on Monday Night Football. And, you know, it was a moment that, you know, shocked everybody, you know, who's seen it. Because even players, former players are, you know, are saying that they've never seen somebody, you know, knocked out like that and losing consciousness like that. But, you know, thank God, you know, he's still alive. He's recovering, and he looks like he's, you know, on the road to recovery. So just keep him in his prayers, lift it up. Before I get to your side of the story, you know, because you were watching the game, I'm going to get to you momentarily, but I'm just going to read his quote quickly. He just tweeted this out, I'd say about, you know, a few hours ago, you know. So yeah, so here his tweet: putting love into the world comes back three times as much. Thankful for everyone who has reached out and prayed. This will make me stronger on the road to recovery. Keep praying for me. And then he also said, the love is felt and extremely real. No matter race or religion, everybody coming together in prayer. So, you know, just continue to lift them up, you know, in prayer. You know, the guys, he had a, you know, good season with the Bills. You know, he leads the Bills in total tackles with 75, at least 75, you know, from last month. You know, he was having a good year. Hopefully he could have a speedy recovery. You know, obviously football is secondary to what he's going through. So, Mac, you know, what are your thoughts on, you know, how it happened and, you know, you witnessing it on TV?
Well, it was definitely scary. It was a scary thing to see. I've never seen a player collapse and then be resuscitated, have CPR performed on him on the field like that. That was the first time I ever received that throughout my years of watching NFL football. But, yeah, no, it's very scary to see. But I'm glad that he's now recovering. And, you know, they got the breathing tube out of his mouth. He can move his hands. And well, just by tweeting out, you know, now he can move his body. But, yeah, no, that was a scary scene there on Monday night. And I'm glad that they called that game off because, you know, that game should not have resumed after that accident. So, but now all the players have come together. The league has come together. The fans have come together. They're supporting Damar, and they've even contributed to his charity. About $7 million or so have gone to his charity, for toys to inner city kids. So, you know, it just shows you that during times of unforeseen circumstances, you know, people can come together and contribute to a good cause. And that's what's happening here, you know, because of this Damar Hamlin accident. But, you know, it's good to hear that he's recovering and he's in good spirits. And, you know, hopefully he can get back to what he loves doing the best, playing football.
Yeah, man, I co-sign everything what you said, man. It's good that everybody's come together, you know, praying for him, wishing him well on this tough road ahead of him.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a good thing he has his memory. You know, he's still the same person he is. He hasn't the injury hasn't affected him. You know, he's still hopeful and optimistic about his road, and you know, he took the time to to thank everybody. He did a video chat with his teammates, lifting up their spirits. But yeah, I agree with you. It was a great decision by the NFL to stop the game and, you know, just cancel the game. You know, it's, you know, this stuff that's more important, you know, more important than, you know, than sports. I mean, obviously as sports fans, you know, sports are very important to us, but, you know, we can't lose sight that these are people, man. You know, they're putting their bodies on the line to, you know, entertain us, to make a living, you know, but, you know, thank God it could have been a whole lot worse. You know, he's alive. And, you know, just have to be thankful for God, you know, that he's still here, because he could have easily died, you know, with that injury. And it would have been on live TV.
Yeah, everything you said is right. You know, I'm glad they didn't play that game. And the game is not going to be played now. It's canceled officially. So both teams are just going to finish out their last games of the season and then head into the playoffs as top seeds.
And rightfully so. And moving on, yeah, the Jets, man. Talk about a team that's
disarray.
Total disarray. They had so much hope in that season. They started off winning with Zach Wilson, even in spite of him, even though he was clearly the weakest link on the team, you know, this year, but they were able to win without him. And Mike White, you know, had some starts, and but now lately they've been they've lost what, four in a row, I believe, you know, and the season basically it's over. You know, they've had some costly loss that killed their season. You know, losing to the Vikings 27-22 on December 4th. Buffalo Bills, the aforementioned Bills, beating them 20-12. Lions beating them in the Meadowlands on December 18th, 20-17. And, you know, Jaguars beating them 19-3. And Seahawks beating them 23-6. So, yeah, this is like, what, five in a row that they've lost. And put the nail on their coffin. You know, what could have been a promising season, you know, ends in a whimper. You know, now they're 7-9. Now they got to try to play for pride against their rival, the Miami Dolphins. They're going to be playing against them tomorrow afternoon in Miami. And now they just basically have to show up, you know. You know, what can you, I mean, the season's dead, but they got to play for pride, you know?
Yeah, you just have to finish the season on a high note. And then this offseason, they got to get a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Wilson is not the franchise quarterback that they thought he was going to be. And Mike White, even though he's played well during times this season, I mean, other times he's looked like he's not the quarterback for the Jets going forward. So they got to look into some other options this offseason. See if they can sign a veteran or maybe draft another quarterback. I mean, who knows? But they got to look elsewhere other than Mike White and Zach Wilson, because these two guys are probably not going to start next year.
Yep. And they shouldn't. It's yeah, man. There's another lost season for Gang Green.
Yeah,
definitely need to solidify this you know, quarterback situation. You know, they're gonna have Flacco hopefully turn back the clock and try to win this game. And then have, you know, Wilson backing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, this isn't, yeah, man, what can I say? It's, head scratcher, man. They definitely need to, another quarterback that they drafted that hasn't really, been a bust. Him, Darnold. I mean, they're still looking for the heir apparent to name it after all these years.
Yeah.
Shoot. Only what Sanchez and Pennington has been like,
close.
You know, the decent Testaverde, you know, who's been good quarterbacks for the Jets. You know, in recent history. Yeah, well, on to the next one, or next season. But they definitely need to get a quarterback, a veteran quarterback.
Yeah.
No, definitely. No more experimentations with guys who, you know, rookies or journeyman guys. Like, no, they need to get a legit. They're going to have to break the bank for one. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But most importantly, switching gears for your boys, Big Blue. Your boys are on their way.
Yep. And clinched a playoff spot last week by beating the Colts 38-10. Much needed win. I mean, the Giants have had a good season. Yeah, they had a stretch where they lost four games out of five or five out of six, whatever it was. They had a rough stretch there, but they seem to have now recovered and gotten back to how they were playing earlier in the season. I mean, there are two or three games that they could have won this season, where instead of being 9-6-1, they could have probably been 12-4, maybe. You know, they had a if they had held on to those leads in some of those games. But still, it was a big win last week. You know, we get into playoffs, and we play the Eagles tomorrow. Eagles right now, I don't know if their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, if he's going to play because he suffered a shoulder injury a few weeks ago, and he's been out of the lineup. So it's questionable whether he's going to play or not tomorrow. But if we can beat the Eagles to finish out the regular season and go into the playoffs on the high note, that'd be great. You know, because right now I love how we're playing. The defense is looking really good. Offense has been playing much better. Daniel Jones has been very efficient. You know, I like our chances in the playoffs.
Yeah, man, good luck to you guys, man. You guys are you know, I'm moving in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's been a lot of people down on Daniel Jones, but I feel Daniel Jones, he's our quarterback, and he's here to stay. You know, he's had his best season so far, and he's going to continue to improve, and this team is going to continue to improve with him.
Again, congratulations.
Thank you.
And thing gears, Matt, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Where in the world is Carlos Correa?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the title of the show is Happy New Year's. Where in the world is Carlos Correa? So, you know, I think we have a better chance of finding Waldo than finding where in the world is Carlos Correa, man. This guy was, you know, he spent all these years with Houston. Then he took his talents to Minnesota. Then he was supposed to sign with San Francisco Giants because the Giants was trying to get you know, him or Aaron Judge, which obviously you know what happened with Aaron Judge becoming the captain of the Yankees. You know, congrats to him again. But yeah, man, they thought they had him, but because of his, they were the first team to find out that he had, you know, these injuries that could pop up. Apparently he has an ankle injury that could pop up in the, you know, in the future, especially with a then 13-year contract that the Giants had with him. What was it, 13-year, 350? So then hours before they were supposed to announce him as the newest Giants, call off the deal, and then the Mets, who reportedly were thinking about going after him in the 11th hour before he agreed to turn with the Giants, they swooped in and made the deal later that night or the early next morning. And basically, Steve Cohen broke the news, which normally doesn't happen. You know, normally when someone goes into terms with somebody, they wait a few days for the deal to go through, and then, you know, the GM and, you know, the manager would say, like, oh, you know, we can't talk about potential rumors, and, you know, we have to wait and see, you know, stuff like that. But, yeah, Cohen, like, he just broke the news. He broke the news himself. Like, I remember reading the article, you know, before I went to, as soon as I woke up, you know, to get ready for work, and then I'm shocked. I'm like, what? I mean, this is a rumor, or is this really actually happening? You know, and then sure enough, I see Cohen's quote, which threw me off. I'm like, wow, this is legit. Like, I was shocked. You know, and like Steve Cohen said, this move puts us over the top, which would be very true. You know, the Phillies got Trey Turner, you know, to sign to go to the City of Brotherly Love, you know, where, you know, obviously they have such a potent offense, and obviously they have great pitching over there with Wheeler and Nola. So, yeah, the Mets really need it. And then, of course, you had the Braves, who won the World Series in 2021. So, you know, a lot of teams were picking the Mets as the second or third best team in their own division after all the big moves they did in this offseason, which was, you know, signing Verlander to replace DeGrom, Kodai Senga, Quintanilla, David Robertson. Yeah, man, they went there. You know, Omar and Navarez, you know, they signed a bunch of guys, you know, to improve this offense and pitching. So, you know, they definitely need to pull off this deal. Right now there's rumors that the Mets might back out of the 12-year $315 million contract. Because there's rumors that he doesn't want to fix this, you know, change the deal, you know. And Steve Cohen announced it early a few hours ago that one way or another there's going to be resolution about what's going to go on with Carlos Correa. And then not to mention Carlos Correa looked like he pulled a Trevor Bauer, which I'll get into a few minutes from now, that, you know, he had his son wearing a shirt that says I Love New York, and he tweeted or posted on social media that, you know, daddy's going to work and all this stuff like that and all that stuff. So it may seem like he was going to come to the Mets, or for all we know, it could be the Yankees, because, you know, his son was wearing a I Love New York shirt. So who knows? So, yeah, what's your thoughts on this whole Carlos Correa sweepstakes soap opera that's going on?
Yeah, soap opera it is, because, man, right now, I don't know what's going on, like which way this is going to go. I'm reading articles that say Mets are growing frustrated over negotiations with Carlos Correa. They're hesitant. because of his this injury that the Giants saw, which made them back out. So now the Mets, they're willing to walk away. I mean, yeah, this is a soap opera indeed. And I don't know if the Mets can get themselves out of it. They're probably going to be stuck with Carlos Correa and this contract. There's no way you could back out of this now. It's not going to make the Mets look good if they back out of it now. I mean, all the excitement, all the buzz that this signing generated, now you're gonna go back on it and walk away? You can't. You can't do it.
Yeah, man, I agree with you, man. It's not going to be a good look. I mean, the Mets fans, you know, when we found out that he was signing here, you know, they sold like $1 million in like tickets before the season even started.
Yeah.
Like within an hour. Like. So yeah, it's not going to be a good look. Obviously, you know, it's strange situations that, you know, Carlos Correa's injury is, you know, and I mean, the Mets do get an A for effort or A plus for effort, you know, trying to get Carlos Correa twice, but you know, even he admitted that this is the move that puts them over the top. If they don't get Correa or somebody comparable to Correa, it's going to be a lot tougher for them to be a contender for a title. I mean, they still could win it, theoretically. They have a very improved team. But a lot of people are picking them to be the third best team in their own division, second or third best team in their division after the Braves. And some people think the Phillies might be better. I mean, it depends on, you know, your perspective. Yeah, man, Correa would be perfect if he came, if he was healthy, if this deal does go through, because, I mean, this guy has 18 postseason home runs. I've been saying for decades that Mets need a guy who's clutch in the postseason, who's hungry, who has a World Series ring, kind of like, you know, Keith Hernandez, you know, when he came over to the team. You need that blending of a veteran who won it all. You know, you need a veteran who hasn't won it all, but who's hungry and has that work ethic. And then you have the young talent. That's how you have a winning team. So, you know, hopefully it all works out. So, all in all, do you think it'll go through, or do you think Mets will back out?
I think it'll go through. I think it'll go through. I don't think they're going to back out.
I hope you're right, but this is not looking good. I think Mets are going to back out. As weird and crazy as they're going to say.
If they do, then it's going to be ugly. It's not going to be a good look.
It's already gotten ugly. Or as J.R. used to say, bowling shoe ugly. Like, it's really bad. Like, I mean, you know, they were professing their love for each other. Kind of like Trevor Bauer. When Trevor Bauer was trolling the Mets. You know, if Correa don't sign with us, this is like Trevor Bauer part two, who, you know, recently got reinstated into baseball and, you know, he got released by the Dodgers, I think, as early as yesterday. So, yeah, if Carlos Correa does not sign with the Mets, this is not official, man. This is like him trolling us, man, because it's like, You supposedly, according to Boris, he was so excited that he threw, you know, Boris onto the bed, you know, in the hotel room, you know. So, I mean, from going to that to not trying to renegotiate your contract, you know, to have incentives to, you know, try to, you know, cover the Mets if he does get injured, you know, and give him incentives more monetarily. You know, if he does stay healthy, which he has done throughout his career, you know, up until this point. So hopefully they can work it out. But, I mean, I don't think it's going to go through, to be honest with you.
Well, we shall soon see.
I hope I'm wrong, but this is totally a Met, a typical Met storyline, you know, of them, you know, getting somebody and, you know, thinking they're going to get somebody. Yeah, apparently, they were close to getting Manny a long time ago, Vlad Guerrero, and, you know, and they could have drafted Reggie Jackson, you know. I mean, there's so many guys that they could have had that they let slip through their fingers. They had David Justice. They traded away Robin Ventura for David Justice, and then they had him for a week in the off season. So David Justice is a paper Met, and then they traded him to the Cubs in the middle of the off season, or 1 week later, for Jeremy Guthrie, which I was still not happy about that when that happened back in the, you know, when it happened in what, 2002, if I'm not mistaken. So I mean, like, and then Ventura ended up hitting a home run against the Mets as a Yankee. So I mean, it's, you know, it's just one of these moves that looks like it always seems to bite us in the, you know, in the behind. So I mean, I don't know, man. I don't think it's gonna happen. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully you're right, but I don't see it happening. If it was gonna happen, it would have happened already.
Yeah, no, I don't see the Mets backing out. You know,
it doesn't look bad.
Yeah, I think they're gonna have to live with it.
I think Cohen still wants to do it. Even though I would assume he's ticked off with all this drama that
they're gonna do another Bobby Bonilla. Watch.
But I'm guessing it's Epler who's talking to him, you know, telling him, hey man, this is too much of a risk. This is not gonna look good. You should walk away, you know. I don't know, that's just my assumption of what's going on. So
we shall see.
Yeah, because I mean, if they don't get him, man, like, there's nobody out there free agency wise that's his caliber. And I don't know who they're gonna trade for, who would help them, you know, who fit the team's need as having a proven leader who's clutch in the postseason, like Correa. So, you know, it is what it is, man. If he doesn't come, then we'll just have to play Beatty or Escobar, you know, at third, as the plan was. So. We shall see. Speaking of plans, the Yankees, man. I mean, you know, obviously they re-signed Judge. They signed Rodon, which I think that's the biggest move they've made in the offseason. Aaron Judge, I mean, that's a generational player. You know, that was a must sign by the Yankees. You know, we expected the Yankees to do it. I mean, if they didn't re-sign Judge, man, they might as well just contract the team and just call themselves the New York, I don't know, New York Pretenders or something. Because New York Yankees, when they want somebody, 99.99% of their time they get the person. So for them not to get Aaron Judge would have been and seriously, personal, I mean, in fairness, if he wanted to go to Giants or someplace else, I mean, it's his choice. But if Yankees weren't willing to spend the money to go after him, then it would have been shame on the Yankees, you know. And, you know, the Yankees, you know, they signed Rodon, which I think will be the X factor for this station. Take a little pressure off Cole. You got Severino, Cortez, which is, to me, is the wild card of the Yankees, man. That guy is, you know, that guy's the clutchest guy you guys have on your team.
And Montas.
And then you got Montas from the A's,
yeah,
you know, from last year. So, yeah, you guys got a good starting rotation.
Yeah, we still got to improve our offense, though. But so,
yeah, the offense really needs to be improved.
I'm disappointed that we haven't addressed that this off season. So hopefully we can make some more moves here before the season starts.
Yeah, but two moves you did that should definitely give Yankee fans some hope is them signing Brian Sabian, the former GM of the championship San Francisco Giant teams.
Yeah, I like that.
And of course, you know, he had, you know, he worked in the Yankee organization prior to that. But and then Manaea, man, that's arguably the one move, front office move that I didn't like that Cohen did so far. It was when him and Alderson took over, you know, they cleaned house, and then one of the people they cleaned house was Manaea, and I felt Manaea should have been a guy that should have been a Met, you know, through and through, you know. I mean, what he did with the Mets in the early 2000s, you know, I mean, this guy's a great, he's a great GM, you know. He never won a title as a GM, you know, but yeah, he's a very good GM. I mean, I felt Mets should have kept him, you know, so that, you know, obviously him signing with the Yankees, you know, didn't sit right with me, but, you know, it's the Mets' fault. They shouldn't have let him go like that. So, you know, props to the Yankees. You know, they made a smart move. To me, these are the biggest moves that the Yankees made. I mean, other than Judge and Rodon, you know. And the Yankees, this is going to improve this is going to prove dividends for the Yankees in the future.
Hopefully. We'll see.
Because especially Manaea, he gets those diamond in the roughs. You know, obviously both men get it, and then of course Cashman. You know, he's been in the game winning titles as well. So, you know, he got some guys he can trust, who's not going to try to step on his toes and try to, you know, pull a coup d'état on him. You know, he got two trusted men who's, you know, very respected in the game. And then another thing I thought of, I just remembered, I wanted Sabian to be the GM of the Mets before they signed Epler, because obviously because of the pedigree, but Cohen didn't even bother interviewing him. And then when there was that rumor of him, you know, being in consideration, he got Sabian got PO'd because he wasn't even being considered, even though his because apparently he really wanted the job, the Mets job. But Cohen, for whatever reason, I think wanted someone who's more analytical, or analytical and old school mixed together, something to that effect. And he didn't get considered. And, you know, he was so PO'd that he took himself out of consideration publicly. So, you know, Yankees got two guys who I wish would have been in the Mets organization. So, you know, props to them.
Yeah, hopefully they can improve this team, get better, and win that long-awaited title that we've been looking for.
After the Mets win their third.
we'll see.
We shall see in October, I suppose.
But, yeah, moving along. The Knicks, man, they've been playing a lot better.
Yeah, you lose some, you win some, right?
Yep, they win eight in a row. They lose five in a row. They've won, I think, what, four in a row now. So I mean,
yeah,
this thing
up and down.
Very, you know,
streaky.
Very
team.
Yeah, very streaky team indeed. Like RJ Barrett's been nursing a lacerated finger. He hasn't played for like a week. Brunson was out for a week, but he just came back a few days ago, and he's been Brunson. What can you say, man? Guy had a career high 38 points a few days ago. I mean, you know, he's been as advertised. Randall, as you would hope, the pressure's off Randall. Randall's been having like 20 plus games, 30 point games. Double.
Yeah, Randall's been playing very well this season.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely worthy of an MVP.
Playing like he did a couple seasons ago.
I mean, All-Star.
Hey, he's playing like he did a couple seasons ago. So now Knicks fans are going back. They don't want to trade him now.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, I don't even know what to think, to be honest with you. But, hey, he's been doing great. So that's what we want to see. So yeah, he's been playing well. Brunson is the MVP of the Knicks.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's the point guard that we've dreamed about for years.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, Pop, quickly, he's been playing well. And then you have...
Manchester's been doing well, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
This nine-man rotation is...
Mm-hmm.
Is has been great.
McBride, Grimes,
Hartstein.
Those young dudes are Robinson.
Yeah,
they've been playing well for the most part. I know there's rumors that they might trade Toppin. You know,
I hope not.
I hope not either, man. Because to me, man, like if you're gonna get Donovan Mitchell or somebody of that ilk, man, I don't want any of these stupid trades, man. Like. That non-trade is gonna haunt us, man. This dude scored 71 points just like a few days ago. Like, I mean, that guy could have been the missing piece. The way how he's playing right now.
Yeah, him and Brunson.
Yeah, we would have had him and Brunson, and somehow kept RJ Barrett. Like, man, this team could have been scary.
Yeah.
And I wanted this trade so bad too, man. Like. This dude grew up a Knicks fan and a Mets fan, like yours truly right here, man. Like, do you know how insane, how passionate, how diehard of a person you have to be to root for one of those teams, let alone two of those teams? Like, the loyalty, like, this dude would have been a baller, man, for the Knicks, man. They just couldn't do this move, man. And then Danny Ainge apparently was hell-bent on getting R.J. Barrett, which... To me, you know, I felt he was the only guy on this team that was untouchable. Even though, like I said, I wanted to keep quickly. I wanted to keep Toppin. I mean, I still do. I still want to keep those guys. Toppin, quickly. I mean, you know, obviously the other guys, you know, you're going to have to give them up. You know, you got to give some to get something. But R.J. Barrett was the guy that you couldn't give up. You know what I mean? Like the potential of this guy, you know, is, you know, he could be a star in this league. But, yeah, other than that, man, they had to do whatever they had to do to make this trade happen, man.
Yeah.
And apparently Danny Ainge, you know, was holding a grudge because he didn't like how they courted Brunson, you know, during that playoff game between him and, you know, the Jazz and the Mavs. And, of course, you know, Danny Ainge being a Celtic, you know, I mean, there's all these speculations why he didn't want to, you know, trade with us. And, you know, now we have to deal with it, man. Every game, every day, man, you just see this guy, like, Donovan Mitchell is finally playing the way that we all thought he would or could do. Like now he's like a legit superstar right now. And we could have had that.
Now there's rumors that we might trade for what's the Bulls player?
Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind trading for LaVine as long as we don't have to give up, you know, some of the some of the big pieces. But it sounds like we might have to give up a lot.
To me, man, if we have to mortgage the house, man, like if. I just feel numb, man. If we're gonna do it for Donovan Mitchell, I feel like we shouldn't be like just dumping all these guys, you know, for somebody who's not gonna like really improve. I mean, Zach LaVine is good, so I mean, depending on what we give up, I'm for it. But like, knowing the Knicks, man, they're gonna do like a Glenn Rice trade. You know what I'm saying? I just have a bad feeling they're gonna do something like that. Like they're gonna overcompensate because they didn't do this move and just do a move for the sake of doing a move. Or just
like they always do.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, for the past 20-something years, man, they always sign mediocre players at best and give them superstar money and then wonder why they falter in New York. Like, I'm just done with this, man. Like, Save the money, man. Play the prospects. Let them play. And if you're gonna make a trade, do it for a bona fide star / superstar.
Yeah.
Cause Knicks for the past 20 years, they've either been really, really horrible, but they still don't have a top pick to show for it, or they've been mediocre. You know what I mean? Like they're no man's land. And it's messed up. It's like either they're bad, but somehow they always lose out on people like Mitchell, like Curry, one pick away from Curry. That just reminded me of something. Yeah, Curry was one pick away from being a Knick, just like Justin Verlander was one pick away from being a Met. And now I just realized that now he is a Met now.
Yeah.
I just realized that. I just remembered that he was one pick away from being a Met.
No, he's...
Yeah, because the Mets were scouting him at the time, and every time they saw, they were scouting him, you know, the Tigers were there. So they knew, sure enough, he was going to get drafted by the Tigers, which is what happened. Well, hopefully, Donovan Mitchell, I assume he's going to be a free agent in, what, 2 years from now, 2 or 3 years from now? Hopefully that will be the case. But the way he's playing now, man, they might give him a Carlos Correa contract. For all we know. Shoot. Man. Yeah, man, this non-trade hurts, man. I'm not even going to lie.
Well, you got to live with it. I mean, there's nothing you can do right now. So you just got to have to play with what you have.
Yep. Like a star player who actually wanted to come here. But, hey, man, what can we do, man? It's our 50th anniversary. Of us not winning a title.
Hey, but this team, they've been playing well, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They're, what, the 4 games over .500. They have the 6th seed right now in the East. So hopefully they can get better, you know, throughout the season and make the playoffs. And who knows what happens once they get into the playoffs. Never know.
Well, in baseball, as you can see with the Phillies, anything is possible. When you have a good pitching, you know, you got clutch hitting, anything is possible. But in basketball, man, like, if you don't have the superstar players, man, there's a 99% chance you're not going to go far, man. You need, like, 2 or 3 superstar players on your team for you to even, like, make a noise. For us, I mean, man, the banners, we're not putting nothing up on the banner this year, unfortunately, but... Hopefully we'll make strides toward that direction. But yeah, switching gears to wrestling, WWE. Vince McMahon is back. You know, apparently he's back to sell the team. I mean, to sell the. Of the company, I should say, WWE. Do you want to guess what are some, according to this article, there's some, these are the suitors. Do you want to guess who the suitors are?
The suitors for buying the company? ESPN?
Let me see. Let me see if ESPN is one of those. Let's see, ESPN, is ESPN one of the? Well, I mean, technically, you are right. Well, what was your second guess again?
Disney, which owns,
yep,
ESPN.
Disney is ESPN, so yeah, you are right. Either way you look at it, Disney is one of the.
Paramount.
Paramount, one of them. Let's see. No, they're not one of them. I'll give you 2 more guesses.
Peacock Network?
Oh, well, yeah, you're right. What was it? Comcast, I think?
Viacom?
What was it? Comcast, I think. Comcast, I think, owns... Wait, is it Comcast or... NBC? I think Comcast is NBC, right?
Comcast. Is it Viacom?
Right, right, yeah. Comcast owns NBC, USA Network, and Peacock.
Okay.
All right, you got one more guess. You got it. So here are the groups that they think might take over. Comcast, Fox, Disney, Netflix, Amazon, Warner Brothers, Discovery, and Endeavor Group Holdings, which, you know, owns UFC.
Interesting.
So who would you like to own? Who would you like to own WWE?
Definitely not Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon has not been doing a good job with either baseball or MLB.
All right.
Netflix wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah.
Because it's a streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
I think having WWE on Netflix would be much better than a fucking Peacock network. Pardon my French. Fox. Fox. WWE SmackDown Fox has not been too bad.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind Fox on ESPN either, if Disney buys it, or ABC.
Mm-hmm.
I think Disney would have probably the upper hand in this, probably.
Yeah, I would say Disney, too.
Yeah. They'd probably have the upper hand, but then again, would WWE have to tone down a lot of things if Disney did buy it?
I mean, they do. They already toned down the stuff. Oh, well, yeah, they would have to tone it back down even more.
Yeah. So that'd be the negative.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it would probably have to stick with Fox or go to Netflix, I'd say.
Yeah, Netflix would probably be the best option.
Yeah.
What about Dolan wants to buy it?
Hell no. That would be the worst. That would be the worst, man. Could you imagine that?
If we don't, Dolan might buy it.
That would be the worst.
Have his music as the theme song.
Oh, man, that would be the worst. He would set that company on fire. Burn it down to the ground.
Oh, man. they wouldn't move anywhere. They'd be in MSG all the time. And that would water down the product.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, that's right. It would
be at MSG every week.
Yeah. We're going back to the old days. Some of the house shows were always there.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, yeah, but MSG, I mean, when it happened, you know, it used to mean something. But, yeah, you're right. It used to be the home of WWE. But then again, they didn't have pay-per-view every month at that time.
Right.
But you know who I think would be, the perfect person to buy it?
Who?
The Rock.
Yeah, wouldn't be too bad.
I mean, he's close to having the money. He could get people to, you know, pull some string to have people, you know, put a group together.
Well, what network? I mean, where is it going to be on? What network is he going to put on? Like,
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. That's a good question. But I could definitely see him owning it, you know. Makes sense. Wrestling is in his blood, you know. Maybe it might be Maybe it might stay on Peacock. I don't know. Or Netflix. I don't know. It's a very good question. Yeah, maybe it would go to Netflix or Peacock. Stay on Peacock, I would assume. If Rock owned it. But that's the rumor right there. Let me see, WWE, you had Roman Reigns, you know, basically, you know, blaming Sami Zayn for the loss from what was it, New Year's Eve? No, it wasn't New Year's Eve. It was the show before New Year's Eve, the 30th. When John Cena won his only match of the year, teaming up with Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns, which was a good match. I'm trying to think what else happened.
I actually missed some of the SmackDown. Ended up seeing like the second half.
Right. Oh yeah. Hit Row turn heel. They attacked Ricochet.
Did I see that one? I think that's when I probably. Let me see. When did that? Did that happen in the second half?
Yeah, I think it happened in the second. I think so.
Yeah, I think I saw that one.
On Raw, Alexa Bliss turned four heel.
Yep.
Hitting Bianca Belair with a vase. You know, she's gone full white mode now. A shocking thing that happened with this new Wyatt family, this Wyatt Six, the rumored name for the team, is that Uncle Howdy attacked Bray Wyatt in his live debut, and they officially announced that Bray Wyatt and LA Knight's gonna fight in the first ever Mountain Dew Pitch Black match.
Interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to think what else happened. Oh yeah, the December 30th one, Charlotte Flair turned into a baby face and defeated Ronda Rousey to be the new SmackDown champion. I think for the 14th time, I think.
Yeah, you were very upset about that.
Yeah, I mean,
can you explain why?
Yeah, because to me, this is just another title reign for Charlotte Flair. Like, I was thinking maybe they might have the titles change hands, you know, with Raquel Rodriguez, since they've been high on her, and I thought they were gonna give her the opportunity, but instead they gave it to Charlotte Flair for the 18th million time. But this time she did as a baby face. So, what's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, Charlotte, she's been a dominant female wrestler in WWE for years now. And I can see why WWE did it, from a ratings aspect. Why they did it, because she draws money, and she has that Flair name, which draws attention and draws ratings. So I mean that's probably it. And I don't know when she has a title, I guess it's much more appealing, I guess, to fans. And it generates much more of a buzz than Ronda does.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. I mean, since Ronda has had a title, I mean, have you been really excited or hyped up about any of her matches?
Nah, I think ever since she lost to Liv Morgan, she hasn't really been the same, really.
Yeah, and her matches have been kind of dry, but at least Charlotte, with her matches, there's some excitement there, some appeal there, and she's a far superior wrestler than Ronda, I think.
Right.
But yeah, seeing her win it for the 100th time, she's pretty much the female John Cena is what she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And John Cena's tied with her dad for the most title wins in WWE/WCW history.
Yeah. So I can see why WWE did it, but even though it's annoying, and she's won it so many times, but. It's from a business aspect, it makes sense. you know.
Guys, so they want the shot value.
Yeah, yeah. And she might lose it here in the next few months.
Yeah.
Well, no, she might even lose it to Sasha. I almost said Sasha Banks is not with WWE anymore.
Yeah, Sasha Banks. Yeah, she signed with New Japan, and now she's gonna challenge Kairi, you know, formerly known as Kairi Sane in WWE, for the New Japan Wrestling, you know, women's title.
Yeah,
over there. And now Sasha Banks is now known as Mercedes Moné.
I hear that it's only temporary that she's with New Japan. It's most like she's gonna go. She's gonna sign with AEW.
That's
the rumor.
Like. Yeah, that's what it looks like to me.
So we'll see.
And speaking of AEW, they AEW, they the Acclaim, you know, the tag team champions, they've retained the title both on Rampage and Dynamite against Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett, because I don't know if you heard, they're having a rivalry right now, and basically the Acclaim is, you know, bringing up Jeff Jarrett's past about, you know, Jeff Jarrett basically, you know, is married to Kurt Angle's former wife, Karen. So they brought that up in their latest rap diss, you know, songs. But, Soraya, formerly known as Paige, she's going to have a tag team match with Toni Storm, which, you know, many people thought it was going to be Sasha Banks, now known as Mercedes Moné, would have been the tag team partner in this upcoming match on Dynamite, but it's going to be Toni Storm and Soraya versus Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter.
Interesting.
But I guess that's about it now. Any thoughts you'd like to say before we head out?
I want to enjoy the rest of the weekend and come back here. Well, actually, first check out my show, iMac. Check your local lists for that. And come back and check out Sports of Religion every Saturdays at 11 on the Box Talk Radio.
Yep, you heard the man. Oh, yeah, and also this upcoming week, Kevin Owens is going to go one-on-one against Sami Zayn.
For the 100th time.
Yeah, I think that's going to be on SmackDown, this upcoming SmackDown, if I'm not really sure, right? But, yeah, most importantly, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for checking out this episode, the New Year's edition of Sports and Legend. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace. And please, can someone tell me where Carlos Correa is, man? And if he doesn't tie with the Mets, then fine, he could disappear in the Bermuda Triangle. Peace.
Yeah. Who must? Who's movie? Who must? Who's movie? Who must? Who's movie? Who must? Well, she sneaks around the world from Vienna to Carolina. Sticky finger touch up from Berlin down to Belize. Take you for a ride on a slow bus to China. Tell me where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Steal their soul in South Korea, making nothing come right. Also from the Red Sea to Greenland, they'll be in the blues. Well, they never Arkansas heard steel to me come from the jungle. Tell me
where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
He goes from Nashville to Norway, out in Zimbabwe, Chicago to Czechoslovakia, and back.
Well,
she'll rent that racket stand and run a scan in Scandinavia. Thanks to stick them up down under and go big pocket first.
She was
the miss and misdemeanor when she stole the beans from Lima down there.
Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Be.
Ooh, that's what a Tijuana Milandia Amsterdam, Mali, Zimbabwe, Ohio, Ohio.
Around the globe, thanks to slip them every nation. She's a double-feeling diva with a taste for thievery. Her itinerary's loaded up with moving violations. Tell me,
where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, tell me,
where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Tell me,
where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Where could she be?
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, Luz Correa.